Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Even though we are in the end times clearly, we need to be extremely careful that we do not lay the Bible alongside the newspaper and try to use what's in the news to verify biblical truth. That's always a bit dangerous, if not disingenuous. Now, this does not mean that we can't look at the many things occurring in society, in the news, as potential evidence that support what the Bible says is happening or will happen, but we still need to be careful. The Biden administration, for instance, is sending millions of dollars to the Palestinian Authority in the Middle East. The Palestinian Authority is not even a nation. It is a group of Arabs, and by the way, there is no such thing as a Palestinian, as a separate culture group. And these people are opposed to Israel's national standing in the Middle East. Now, this is in spite of the fact that in 1948, the UN granted nation status to Israel, a nation that had been dead with the language Hebrew that had also died. This one major event was fulfillment of scripture. And I've got a lot of scripture referenced in the article here, in the transcript. A lot of it's in Ezekiel. Some is in Amos, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Jeremiah. So you can read those and look through them at your leisure. This is undeniable, yet many continue to deny it as they deny the Holocaust. We are moving toward what the Bible refers to as the northern invasion of Ezekiel 38 and 39, where nations that surround Israel will come against her, led by one particular person whom the Bible labels Gog of Magog, Ezekiel 38:2. This will be a war that is ended really before it begins, with God doing the fighting for Israel. Now, it's interesting that Israel will not have to lift a finger to fight for herself, according to the text. God does the fighting and her enemies are destroyed. Take the time to read the two chapters, 38 and 39 of Ezekiel. It's difficult to know if this occurs before the beginning of the tribulation, during it, or at the end of it, with Bible scholars not seeing eye to eye on the timing. The world will simply have to wait and see what occurs. You know, anti-Semitism is seriously on the rise, even here in America. The people who hate Israel deny that they're anti-Jewish. They say they're simply anti-Zionist. Well, God favors Israel. Therefore, that makes God pro-Zionist. He created that nation. Now, we don't have to approve of or think that every decision Israel makes today is perfect. They're not. They're lost people, and God will one day bring his final remnant from that nation. But in that sense, we should support what God is going to do in Israel. You know, the world says nothing. When Arabs from the Gaza Strip or the West Bank and other areas near Israel pound Israel with rocket after rocket, but let Israel defend herself, and the world becomes collectively unglued. It's really a no-win situation for Israel, and certainly without God's coming intervention, Israel would be destroyed. Now, because of the invasion of left-wing politics into many churches today, young people are starting to abandon Israel, favoring instead the quote-unquote downtrodden Palestinians. This trend is growing, and what we're going to witness if we're still here is Israel being completely left alone and no one coming to her aid. Now, of course, this would not have happened under Trump, so they needed to get him out and install two puppets who would do whatever they're told to do. Even the left-wing news, Washington Post, wants Christians to, quote-unquote, reconsider their support for Israel. Now, globalists are pushing all of this. They're behind everything, which is fairly easy to accomplish when you look at the fact that these globalists, three major corporations, basically, control 88% of the corporations that are currently listed on the S&P 500. I mean, talk about a monopoly. These super-rich and powerful people hold the reins over much of the world. They control the media and just about anything you can think of. Now, remember when Colonial Pipeline hacked just a few weeks ago? It shut the oil pipeline down for several days. Remember that? Gas became scarce. Prices skyrocketed. Several weeks later, gas prices in my state are still around $2.89 per gallon. They're up about 30 to 40 cents per gallon from what they were before the hack. And blue states, well, they have prices well over $5 a gallon. Think gas prices are going to go back down? Don't count on it. Now, there's been another hack. This time, it's JBS Meat Supply has occurred. And the company was forced to shut down their slaughterhouses throughout the USA and other places. This could clearly be problematic with shortages of meat and higher prices. And once things get back to normal, do you think prices will go back down? I doubt it. Now, if we consider these things, it's clear that we must use discernment and make good decisions. This leads to whether or not Christians should be preppers. Shouldn't we simply trust God in these things? Well, Jesus seems to suggest that in the following, in part of his Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" And that is Matthew 6:25-27. Well, these are interesting words. And at first glance, it appears Jesus is saying to adopt, you know, a que sera, sera attitude. Let it be, whatever happens. But is he? No. Jesus is really emphasizing the fact that we should not worry. He uses the word in verses 25 and 27. So his point is that worry or undue angst should never prompt our decisions. Worry keeps us from making intelligent decisions. You know, we live on several acres in the country. There are a ton of trees in our county that are very old. Limbs often simply fall to the ground, sometimes taking out electric wires. And when that happens, electricity goes out. Now, we knew of this possibility when we moved here. So we had a plan that included buying a decent-sized generator and installing a transfer plug so that when it did happen, we could be back up and running in mere moments. We didn't do this because we worried about it. We did it because we knew electricity would eventually go out on occasion. So we prepped for that. We're trying to make intelligent decisions based on what our needs are and the tone of society. Paul says that the person who does not take care of his family is literally worse than an unbeliever, 1 Timothy 5:8. I have an obligation to do what I can to take care of my wife and our children and their families, if need be. So by stocking up on certain things, food and other goods, there may come a time when I'll also be able to help neighbors as well. I certainly believe Jesus would do exactly that. Can you imagine expecting God to simply fill your gas tank instead of you actually going to the gas station and filling it yourself? Can you imagine expecting God to provide you breakfast, lunch, and dinner the way he fed Elijah by the ravens? We don't expect that, do we? We work, we earn money, and hopefully save some and spend the rest on necessities for our life. Because we have a generator and small engines that work best with alcohol-free gasoline, we also keep extra gas on hand. It wouldn't do for electricity to go out and not have enough gasoline to run the generator, would it? So we've prepped for these eventualities. We must consider where life is heading to understand the importance of making intelligent decisions that include prepping. I believe life is going to become even more difficult with more supply chain disruption. We should plan, but not worry accordingly. You know, the preppers who are ready to bug out to their underground bunkers loaded with booby traps and are willing to shoot to kill anyone they deem a threat, and then basically essentially close themselves off from society in general, is something that Christians should not be involved in. Those folks prep out of selfishness and with no concern for others. This is the wrong attitude, in my opinion. Doing that would also close us off from spreading the gospel in possibly coming desperate times. But let's move on. The Lutheran Church has recently elected Megan Rohrer to the title bishop over roughly 200 congregations in Northern California and Northern Nevada. She prefers to be referred to with the pronouns they and their. Rohrer was the first transgender person to be ordained by the ELCA in 2006 and now makes quote-unquote history. The pro-LGBT group Extraordinary Lutheran Ministry said, We anticipate the day when all queer ministry leaders will be called to ministry settings without hindrance or barrier and will be affirmed in their God-given calls, unquote. Sorry, God is not mocked. These people will rue the day when they began accepting gays and lesbians into leadership positions. God will deal with that in His way and in His time. Christians, however, should not be part of that denomination. They're apostatizing. Well, moving on, here's some great information sent from a reader regarding frontline workers' testimony related to VAERS. Now, the small amount of CV-19 vaccine trials they ran created many deaths of volunteers. At least 20 people died who volunteered to become part of the study to rush the vaccine to the public. Interestingly, many of those were not considered to have died from the vaccine itself. The information is tragic and depressing, yet the powers that be continue pushing the vax, and the division over it within society is growing. And just as a reminder, in the transcript, there's a whole bunch of links to the things that I'm talking about, so you can look those up at your leisure. Apparently, Dr. Fauci is going to be giving a graceful exit after his emails show a pattern of deception and cover-ups related to CV-19. Well, among other things, Fauci was clearly in bed with the Chinese. Senator Rand Paul has been pushing for his firing ever since the emails became public. But the damage has really been done, though. And who are they going to get to replace him? All around us, Satan is establishing his kingdom. And he's being given the opportunity to rule over the entire earth in the form of the coming man of sin, Antichrist, as noted in 2 Thessalonians 2. You know, everywhere we look, we see Satan's work being accomplished. Now, one of the biggest purveyors of evil who is doing Satan's work is a guy by the name of Klaus Schwab, and there is plenty of truth about him on the net. I know you've heard that name before. I've mentioned it. He's the founder and president of the World Economic Forum, and this is one of the biggest groups of globalists who regularly plan and implement things that direct world affairs. Ultimately, they're directing all of it to the coming one world government and one world religion. Schwab was raised in Germany under Hitler's regime, and it's a sure bet he is a still dyed-in-the-wool Nazi. He, like other globalists, believed they were put here on Earth to rule over the rest of us. They worship Satan in the form of Lucifer and willingly do his bidding. Schwab and his cohorts are working very hard to bring about the Great Reset, where they envision an entire world captivated, imprisoned, and controlled by them. In order to accomplish that, they must be able to track everyone to keep tabs on them. Now, I'm telling none of this to shock or excite anyone. I'm simply pointing out the obvious. I tell you this to ensure that you understand what is happening throughout the world. I believe God wants us to make intelligent decisions, which may include stocking up on certain things for the future. It's not unusual because ancient civilizations did this, and many in the animal kingdom do the same thing. Why wouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? But fear of what might happen should never be the motivating factor. Never. If we fear situations, we are not fearing the Lord. It's one or the other. It cannot be both. It's all coming together as predicted in Scripture. Now is the time to draw close to our Lord, to learn to fear Him, which creates our trust in Him. He will provide. He will be faithful. He will uphold us as we grow in the fear of the Lord and learn to walk in His ways. Thanks so much for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.